you remember those days when we had tapes? Any of you remember tapes? If you're sort of over under 20, you don't remember that at all. But when you had tapes, and you'd put those tapes in and you'd play them, and all of a sudden that tape would stop playing because the tape wound itself up in the didgeridoo bits of the inside, and that tape would get jammed and stuck, and you'd have to unravel all that brown stuff and make sure you don't squidge it up so it could at least play again if you managed with a pencil to tweak it back into the cassette and reorder it so as you could enjoy the music that was on that. And you know, in life, things happen that unravel us. Things happen that sometimes break us. Things happen that hurt us. Things happen that we never imagined would ever happen to us. But we learned last week how that every time, whatever is happening, God's hand is at work in that. Now, we all want to know if God blesses me with more money, with more finances, with more love, with more, hey, God's with me, yay! But what about in the difficult times? What about in the times where it's really, really tough and it seems, or it doesn't seem like, but it is, everything is going wrong? Is God not with me? Has He forsaken me? Has He forgotten me? Has He written me off the palm of His hand? The answer is no. God is stirring up your nest. He is creating new opportunities for you to move up and in to the next level of whatever He has for you. And today we're going to talk about the quantum leaps of faith. Everybody say quantum leaps of faith. Maybe some of you think, what is quantum leaps of faith? It's nowhere in the Bible. Well, quantum, the word, is nowhere in the Bible. But we will break that down for you. And both of us are going to share, as soon as I give Nehemiah a chance, and we will move into just simply how from our own life, the times that we've taken quantum leaps of faith, sometimes seemingly unto an uncertain future, but God has been there. The times when it's been so unnerving and so unsettling, but God has been there. And we know that God will never ever leave us. The word quantum is a sudden, highly significant advance or breakthrough. It's a sudden, something that suddenly happens, and it's highly significant, and it takes you forward, it breaks you through to another place. And faith is a complete trust or confidence in someone. It's where we are trusting not our own strength, but somebody who is greater than us.
When you look at that AV, and you look at people taking quantum leaps of faith, what do they see? When we see it, we think, oh my goodness, they could hit the rock. Or they could, you know, they could hurt themselves. They must be mad. You know, how foolish. But they always see success. When they transition from where they are to where they're going, they see, they have certainty. Nobody jumps off without really seeing that success and knowing and believing that. Just thinking about that faith, you know, the dictionary defines faith as a complete trust or confidence in someone or something. When people do these daring acts of faith, they're putting their trust in something, some mechanism, some whether it, if they're parachuting off, that parachute would work. Faith is placed in something. That's why they check it. They make sure, you know, if you've been to an airfield and you've seen people going parachuting, they check their equipment because they are placing their trust in that thing to deliver. You know, the same way when we have faith, we place our trust in God. So even though sometimes it may seem like we've free fall for a bit, we are certain in Him that He will lift us up and carry us on wings like eagles. You know, we have that confidence in God. A leap of faith defies natural, logical thinking, propelling us from one state to another. It pictures success. It is propelled by His word to us and acts out His instructions precisely. It requires momentum. To remain static is to stagnate into introspection and chaos. When we remain static, when we don't have momentum, we just remain and we tend to introspect. And with that introspection comes chaos and confusion. We were reminded of Exodus 14, of the children of Israel moving out of bondage and slavery, that state, into freedom and the promises that God had for them. When they left, you know, God delivered them miraculously. The seven signs of, you know, God coming through, and they left and they had made progress and they thought, wow, this is great. And then what happened? They looked back and they saw that the Egyptians, the army, was pursuing them. As soon as they saw that, they panicked. The Bible tells us, Exodus 14, the Israelites panicked when they saw that they were being pursued. And why did they panic? The verse goes on to say they panicked because they concluded that it would have been better for them to be slaves in Egypt than to be corpses in the wilderness. They panicked because they saw not success, not deliverance, not God being with them, not them getting to the promised land. They panicked because they saw themselves as corpses in the wilderness. They thought, finished, ho gaya, bas. Khatam ho gaya. You know, we are it, we are done. They saw the enemy pursuing them. They panicked and they thought, this is it. And when they panicked and they went to Moses, verse 15 says, Moses spoke to God, had a conversation with God, and God responds to Moses. In our states of panic, we can panic so much that we don't connect with God and have a conversation with God. But Moses had a conversation with God, and in that state, God responded. He spoke. God spoke to Moses, and he said, don't just cry out to me. Tell the people. Get moving. And you know, so often when we are in those states, we cry out to God, oh God, help me. Woe is me. What is happening to me? I am finished. And we stay static because we're calling out to God. You see, we're waiting for God to do something for us. So we're static. And God's response is, tell the people to get moving. Tell the people, momentum is what I want. When you have that momentum, I can take that and do what you can't do.
So we have the people of Israel escaping from Egypt, right?
Yes.
And when you say people, there were 3 million of them, not two or three. There were logistical nightmares that Moses had to contend with, which is why he needed God's divine instructions to take him through. And as Moses communicated with God at this time of communication, he had to envision 3 million people to hear what he was hearing and to see and imagine what he was imagining. You see, we're living in a very different dispensation now where you have a personal relationship with God, where God speaks to you personally and prophetically, right where you are. Yes, God will use people maybe as catalysts to provoke you and encourage you to lift your head above the rut or above the situation, but you have a personal connect with God, which the 3 million people did not have in that dispensation because the Holy Spirit had not come down on the earth. God communicated exclusively through His chosen people. But in the New Testament, with the coming of Jesus, you and I now live in a different era, a different realm, a different dispensation where God speaks to each one of us personally. And it's into this where God speaks to you today. And these same principles that we're going to bring out will apply to you. The same thing that applied to 3 million people as Moses led them out into the promised land applies to you. So what happened next, Naomi?
Well, when God told them to get moving, He also did something. The Bible says that this angel of the Lord repositioned Himself to the back. So God had their back. So when they looked back, and initially they panicked because when they looked back, they saw their enemy pursuing them. Now, excuse me, when they looked back, they saw God's presence. And when you're actually in that situation, you see the protective presence of God instead of the pursuing presence of your enemies.
Oh, that is good. Say that again. That's amazing.
I have to remember it. When you see the protective presence of God instead of the pursuing presence of your enemies.
That's good.
You know, that's what brings the change. Then there was no panic. They could get momentum. They could move. They could know, okay, the enemies are still there. They were not yet wiped out. They were still there. But they could move forward because they knew they could see God protecting them. And then God asked Moses to do something with what he had. He didn't give him anything different. He didn't say some external. He didn't send an angel to give him some miraculous thing. He said, take the staff. And Israel were positioned between their enemies behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. And he said, take what you have in your hand, your staff, and hold it up. And I will cause the waters to move, and I will give you a pathway. Now, it's very interesting that God told them what he was going to do. And I'll tell you why. Because it took time. It took time. Sometimes we have this picture. I don't know if you have this picture, but I have this picture of Moses standing with the Red Sea and the people, and almost like a thunderbolt from heaven. And as he held out his staff, it was like whoosh. You could see the water going, parting. But that is not what happened. Historically and scientifically, it's proven that when Moses stood up and put his staff across the sea, the waters started backing up miles away. So the miracle happened, right? The miracle began to happen, right? But could Moses see it? Because miles away, the water was being held up. Miles away. And then the Bible goes on to say that all night long, the waters were being moved back. It was not an instant miracle. It was not. And God could have done it. God could have done it. You know, the enemies were pursuing. It could have taken 10 minutes. Supernatural, miraculous working of God. It was done. Dry land. The seas parting. But when Moses was standing out there with the staff, he had to really trust and have faith and still obey and still hold his staff out, even though he couldn't see that miles away the waters had begun to hold up. And I'm telling you, for each one of our situations, sometimes when God asks us to do things, take leaps of faith, we don't always see the immediate miracle. We're out there feeling foolish. Because what has a staff got to do with waters receding? It defies logic. But when he did that, the miracle began to happen. And I really feel that in many of our lives, whilst we don't see it because it's miles away, but the miracle has begun to happen. Prophetically in our lives, a miraculous change, a shift has begun to happen. And in the process of time, we can see the fulfillment of that.
You know, the frustration is for many of us is that when we have a need, we want God to break through and sort it out right away. And when we don't see something change immediately, it's like, God, you're not doing anything. But what's clearly evident here is that there was a preparation that God was preparing for the supernatural that had already begun to become visible. And that requires you and me to trust in Him because He is in control of every element in your life. Isn't that amazing? Every element of your life, He is in control of it. I posted this week on Facebook as I was thinking of this whole thing. There are two things that you cannot really come up against. The will of God and the will of man. And there is one thing, I haven't posted that yet, is what God cannot come up against. It's your will. Isn't that amazing? God will never bend you or break you to submit to Him. He has freely empowered you to make choices and to choose. And Moses had to choose to use his staff. The people of Israel had to choose to follow Moses, their leader. And in making those choices, there was faith, there was courage, there was trust that was undergirding those choices. And let's be honest, why is it that we don't sometimes make the choices that we know we need to? Because the answer is we don't trust. We don't trust. And I would encourage you, for you to move from this area of mistrust to trusting God. Now, you're not just trusting an inanimate object. God is a person. But more so, He has given us His Word, that we can trust His Word, and on the basis of what He has said, we can move forward. 27 years ago, God spoke to us from Genesis chapter 12, and He said, Leave your father's home and go to a land that I will show you. And I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and through you the nations of the earth will be blessed. And we took that word because it was a word that God gave us, and we, like good Indians, thought we were headed for America, the land of hope and glory, the promised land of everybody who lives this side of the planet.
But the land of hope and glory is the United Kingdom.
But we ended spending 21 years of our life in the United Kingdom. We don't regret a moment, a day, or a minute where God positioned us, where He could do what He needed to do in our lives. But what we did have was God's Word. That propelled us into an uncertain future, seemingly. But the Word of God is our certainty, was our certainty, and to this day is our certainty. In whatever we do, when we hear God, we do it. The same is with your life. He wants to construct and to build your life, but you must be willing to trust Him. And I encourage you, as we look at moving up from this next level, stepping out and making this quantum leap of faith, that you have got to have everything, every ounce of courage, deal with every bit of fear, and step out and to what God. Otherwise, 6 months from now, your situation will be the same. Your circumstances may never change, because there are moments and seasons in our lives where we have got to step up and step out based on what God has said. Not somebody else's opinion, not somebody else's niggle-naggling in your ears, but God, what God has said, not to me, but to you. You must submit that first to God, and you must also submit it to the people who oversee your lives. And in that is a safety net that pushes you forward into the next level in your walk with God. Isn't that amazing? And God wants to do what I see for each one of our lives, for each one of your families, is an amazing entry into a new realm, in a new level. And we are praying that for you each day and every week, praying that you would take those steps. We can't take them for you. We can't push you over the edge. All we can do is pray in faith and believe for you to take those steps. Amen? And see the change that you need to see. So what did these people do? I mean, 3 million of them moving forward. What happened next with this amazing group of people being chased by an army that could literally annihilate them?
Well, after the night of waiting and the process of time, they discover that God was true to His word.
Fantastic.
And there was a dry pathway for them to cross over to the other side. And as they were celebrating their victory, right in the middle of their victory, they were again looking at failure, because the Egyptian army pursued them right through the pathway that God had made for them. God hadn't made that pathway for the Egyptians. He made it for his people. And when they were in the middle, you know, and sometimes in our lives, when it seems like we're in the middle of our victory, we feel like we're looking at failure because we're still being pursued. And that's what happened to them. But in spite of that, they knew because God was positioned.
Here's the thing. Naomi spoke about vultures 2 weeks ago. For every promise and for every victory that you're looking to go through, there are vultures waiting. And the vultures come in form of people. People that want to pull you down. People that want to tear you down. People that want to speak negative words into your life. You can't do it. You'll always, you know, don't listen to the voice of the vultures. Don't listen to the praying vultures, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G, not P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. They are there all over you, flapping their wings, waiting for you just to slip a little bit. See, I told you, you're not going to make mistakes when you push. The guys in the midst of their pathway of success, the vulture of the Egyptian army was right there, almost onto them. But what did they do? They pushed through, and God's presence is what delivered them. It was not their clever thinking, their manipulation, their smooth talking, suaveness. It was simply their dependency on God and the presence of God that delivered them to the next level.
It's those "but God" moments, you know, where everything is kind of like, but God steps in. God does something. And that's what he did for them. Because all of a sudden, the Egyptians that were pursuing them found that their chariot wheels were bent, that they realized that God was with the Israelites. So in those difficult situations, we can have those "but God" moments where it's not what we do, but because we trust him, he does something for us. He steps in. So for the children of Israel, their "but God" at the start, when they left their slavery, in the middle, and right at the end. Their "but God" moments consisted during the whole process of the miraculous. So we don't stop trusting God. We have to continue to trust God and let go and enable God to do what only he can do. Because, you know, God saw them not as slaves, but as warriors, people that could go in and possess their inheritance. And each one of us have an inheritance in God. We have a portion. We have something that God has preordained for our lives. And either you can see yourself as a slave, slave to sin, slave to circumstances, slave to just the natural, or you can choose to see yourself the way God sees you, a victor, a warrior. A warrior is a warrior because there are a lot of battles. God knew that when he was going to change their circumstances from slavery to possessors of the inheritance, that they would have to move from slavery thinking to a warrior stance and mentality. You know, and that's what we have to also see in our own lives. If we continue with the slavery thinking, when we're pursued, we'll say, we can see ourselves as corpses. When we're in difficulty, we will just cry out thinking we're going to die. And that was the problem with the children of Israel. That was the reason why for 40 years they just wandered in the wilderness, because their thinking was still stuck in the slavery thinking. It had to be a new generation.
So I'm going to ask you, what yourself? What thoughts are you having and imagining about your present and your future? Does the vultures of your past hover over your present and future? And like we discovered with Abraham, he had to chase them away. It's something that you have to do. You have to protect what God has given you. Chase it away. And, you know, Judges chapter 23 and verse 19 says, God is not human that he should lie. Not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I love this verse because this gives us the character and the nature of God in a nutshell. Where he is not human, he will not lie, and he will fulfill everything that he would give us. You know, I want to talk about Jesus' quantum leap of faith. We see what Moses did, but Jesus took an amazing quantum leap of faith. At Gethsemane, as he agonized over what was to come, the crucifixion of himself on the cross, as he agonized carrying the weight of our sin in Gethsemane, and he was in such trauma physically, mentally, and emotionally that scientifically we know that his sweat glands burst to the point where he was sweating blood. That was the intensity of that moment in Gethsemane. And in that moment, Jesus says, God, if you can take this away from me. He said, God, if you can take this away from me, do it. But then he says, and he surrenders, he said, not my will, but your will be done. You see, in our times of strife and struggle, we sweat it out, we fight it out, we fight out with the wrong people, we fight out with the wrong circumstances. But if we could just learn, like Jesus, he said, but your will be done. And in that surrender, he goes to the cross. Jesus took a quantum leap of faith when he went from Gethsemane to the cross. Somebody said it this way, Gethsemane was 80% commitment. The cross was 100% commitment. What's your place of Gethsemane? What's your place of strife and anguish where, like those guys on the edge of the cliff, I mean, they just jumped off. They just jumped off. They took that quantum leap. Too many of us come to the thresholds of what God has for us, and we are more comfortable with where we are and not wanting to step in and step out into what God has for us. But if Jesus did it, if Moses did it, if Joshua did it, if so many other people have done it, you can do it too. Because the same God that was with Joseph, with Joshua, with Abraham and Isaac, with, and he will see you through. That total abandonment to God the Father and trust is what brought about the resurrected Christ, which brings about the life that you and I have today. So often, we're willing to struggle in Gethsemane, but not willing to surrender to Calvary. And I want to call each one of us, the cross is your only route to success. It is your springboard to the next level. It's where we come to the cross of Christ and we say, Jesus, I surrender all my opinions. I surrender all my imagination, all my thoughts of grandeur and hope and aspiration, and all my fears and uncertainties. I surrender them to you. I give up my right to what I want to be done my way. I mean, sometimes I believe that so many of us would go through life so much quicker, our challenges, if we would just let go. I mean, we hold on because we want to hold on to a habit, whatever it may be. We hold on to it because if only we could let go and God would break for us. So giving up one's rights is a route to success and you need to come to the cross. The cross is a symbol of total surrender to a greater power. It's where you don't say, I can do it in my own strength, but the power of the resurrected Christ works in you to raise you up from your strife and death and seemingly nothingness and gives you the promise and the hope and certainty of life and life in all its fullness. Come on, what are the Gethsemanes in your life? What are the struggles in your life where you are not prepared to move to the next level? We are imploring you. We are encouraging you. We are speaking to you from the Word of God for you to go to God's Word. Hear what He is saying about your circumstance and situation and take that quantum leap of faith. Because the promise is that God will be with you. He does not speak and then not act. Does He promise and not fulfill? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word, the certainty and the promise of Your word. Father, I pray that You have spoken to each one of us today, and You will help each one of us, whatever our challenges are, whatever circumstance we find ourselves stuck in, whatever rut we seem to be in, that You would help us to take that quantum leap of faith, that sudden moment in our lives where You will come in and break through for each one of us. Help us to surrender, Lord, to You and for You to come through. I want You for a few moments just to see Yourself coming to the cross of Calvary and surrendering Your habits, Your ways that are ungodly, Your struggles, Your strife, whatever those situations, the hurt, the pain, the traumas of Your life, the frustrations of Your life, bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ and see Jesus delivering you and you stepping out into the fullness, stepping out into this great quantum leap of faith that you will take and soar with Jesus. Amen. Come to the cross of Christ today and experience the miraculous work of God in your life. In Jesus' name we pray. As we share communion, come prepared with your hearts ready to let go and your will decisive enough to say, God, I'm going to step out in faith. Yes. That quantum leap of faith to the new level in Christ.